Good afternoon, everybody. And welcome on this Feast of the Immaculate Conception. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. He has done wondrous deeds. That's the truth, eh? He's made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. Wondrous deeds. That, in a very special way for all of us, began with the incarnation of the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, for the salvation of the world. But in order for that to work out, he planned ahead, and he raised up Mary, ensuring that there would be a pure vessel through which, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Son divine could be born into the world fully human, so as to become the unblemished, pure Lamb, the holy sacrifice, the living sacrifice. Isn't that awesome? God is good, eh? I can't hear you. Is God good? Is God good?
Yes.
All right. And so here we are celebrating that on this special day, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, in the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception. Mary conceived without original sin, a virgin, becoming a mother, are marvels that make Mary the one who all generations will call blessed, said the bishop on the occasion of the raising of the parish to a basilica in 2013. Since 1854, with the declaration of this dogmatic teaching of the church about Mary, this, what was once a mission, became the parish of the Immaculate Conception, Jacksonville's oldest Catholic congregation. This is where it started, in Jacksonville. And look at all of you here to celebrate that with each other, with your families, on this incredible day. It precedes the creation of the Diocese of St. Augustine by 16 years. In 1845, it was established as a mission. 1845. The first church was built in 1847. Little tiny thing. It was destroyed by the Union forces during the Civil War. In 1854, of course, designated its own parish, and the second church was built in 1874, which then was destroyed by the great Jacksonville Fire of 1901, which destroyed so much downtown. And this beautiful house of God, work of art, testimony of faith, permanent reminder of the glory of God in the core, in the heart of Jacksonville, was dedicated on December 8th, 1910. Such a rich history. But it is not a history of buildings, of architecture, primarily. It is a history of faith, a history of the love of God in the people of this place, a history of the veneration of the Mother of God. Such a rich tapestry of interwoven lives of faith through these last 174 years here. And from here, many of the churches that some of you probably go to in town were given birth. Assumption, St. Paul's Riverside, Pius, Crucifixion, Holy Rosary, Christ the King, Resurrection, all emanating out from the first place of worship for Catholics here. And so as a basilica, we have a particular union of the entire universal Catholic Church, a bond of communion between this community and the See of Peter, who presides over the unity of the whole church. It doesn't matter which pope we have leading the way. It doesn't matter how much you like the current pope or don't. What matters is the union that goes beyond a man. The union in the indivisible, mystical body of Christ, the church, where we have in the world certain things given to us by the church, by God, to be reminded of this mystical union and call to union between us, communion. This is why not everybody all the time gets to receive the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist just because they want it. It is a profound reality born of God, given to us as a sign and symbol and as a grace, showing our unity. I am in union with you, Lord. There is no sin that separates me from you. You have made me worthy to receive you in the Eucharist, in your body and blood. I believe that which the church teaches, rooted in that which the scriptures, the living word of God proclaims. I believe, and so I receive. Now, when the basilica was raised in 2013, Cardinal Antonio Canizares Lovera wrote in his decree declaring this a minor basilica, he said, "In this church, dedicated to God in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary Immaculate, the Christian faithful, while worshiping the ineffable deity, also call upon the glorious and superabundant excellence of the God-bearer, Theotokos, Mother of God, the mother of his only Son. For it was from her that he took on our human flesh, and the fullness of time he was born. She was chosen, set apart, and perfectly filled with an abundance of every possible heavenly grace from all that God had to offer, so that she was always preserved from every stain of sin and perfectly maintained that fullness of her innocence and holiness. And so, in virtue of her immaculate conception, she embodies hope for each one of us here. Each one of us here in combat with the enemy within ourselves, within the church, and the world around us, as soldiers of Christ, the church militant. That sin can be overcome, she shows us. That purity is possible, she inspires us. That with her intercession, we will be saved, for she is the refuge of sinners, just as every mother is a refuge for her child, of comfort, of quiet challenge, of healing, of restoration. A mother who raises up her children to God. She is Our Lady of Perpetual Help. She is the help of Christians, and she is the comforter of the afflicted. And so, as Benedict Rochelle also said, let us dwell for a few minutes on the power of Mary's sinlessness, that is, purity. Sinlessness is a foreign concept to our modern culture. We have a hard time getting our minds around the notion of a person who never experienced sin, never committed sin, and never even wanted to sin. Yet Mary has a sort of mystical power over sin that bears great authority and can strengthen those who are weak or faltering in any area of faith and morality. We need her power and example as our guide in a very impure world. I think Mr. and Mrs. Confiato would put an exclamation mark behind all these statements about Mary. I mentioned earlier you could talk to them about the key to a long and healthy marriage. And I think they would agree that Mary has been central to that being possible, has been central to communicating the faith to their children, central in their prayers for their family and their children, on their knees praying for the help of Mary, on their knees praying in thanksgiving for the Son that saves them and reaches out even when children go astray. Am I right? Amen? Amen? Amen. And so today, let us be especially mindful of all of these things, of the faith of the ones who came before us, as we carry on the faith and hand it down to our children and their children. In these very walls, in the hiddenness, where for over 100 years, people have prayed, people have sung the praises of God, people have cried out for God's help, people have received body and blood of Christ, made worthy and sometimes not feeling worthy, where devotional activities have gone on for generations, praying the Stations of the Cross, meditating on the life of Christ throughout these windows, where Mary is ever present. Let us be the forebears in the next generations in this city, in this place, increasing the faith, increasing the practice, increasing the glory of God manifested in this city, where more and more the people of God grows, where through our love of God and through our love of neighbor, the poor, their needs are met. The sick and the suffering receive healing. That in all the ways in which the world lost around us needs the love and mercy of God, let us eagerly, passionately, and unceasingly be the hands and feet of Christ. Amen.